This is Protect What Matters with Barry Fisher and Susan Blaze, giving you the advice and information on protecting what matters the most in today's world. Phone lines open, 238-5775, 238-KPRL.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Protecting What Matters. I'm Barry Fisher.
And I'm Susan Blaze.
PWN, Protecting What Matters, is the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. We also explore our history, institutions, and local treasures that are notable and worth preserving. Today's show features Robert Jacobs, the Vice President of Business Enterprises, and Allison Platts-Velasquez, Director of Marketing and Sales, both of Delta Liquid Energy. Today's show, we're going to be talking gas, right? Of a sort, correct?
That's right.
There you go. All right. We're going to talk about the importance of propane to our state and our county, California's monomaniacal drive to ban gas stoves and other essentials of life, renewable propane, and new technologies. And we might touch on a couple of pieces of legislation that you may want to watch that are going on in Sacramento right now that'll impact your lives. Call in with questions or comments. The number is 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So, Susan, what do you got for opening?
There's an interesting article called Green Projects Hit the Iron Wall. This relates to what I talked about last week, I believe it was last week, where there are parts of our government here that are, the state in particular, wanting to build lots of wind turbines right off our coast here in the Central Coast. And this article talks about how many of these giant projects, they're called mega projects, that hit the iron law, which means if a project is big enough and there's enough complexity to it and it's run by the government, then you're likely not going to get the result you want on time and under budget.
Wow, we got a call early. Welcome to Protecting What Matters.
Hey.
Hello?
There's a Senate bill, or I mean,
Welcome
Assembly bill, 1228.
Well, okay, try again.
Can you?
Anyway.
Maybe that was the wrong number.
Maybe.
Hi, didn't expect to be on the radio, huh? I'm from back east, and I know the Boston Big Dig took about 15 years to complete. It was multi-layered bridges and tunnels, and at one point, part of it collapsed and killed a few people. There's been the New York 12 years overdue and 300% over budget East Side Access Rail project, and, of course, our own California high-speed rail to nowhere. All these projects consume hundreds of billions of dollars, and they don't seem to ever get anywhere. And if they do, it's not like they planned from the beginning. Ah.
Oh, we'll try it again.
Okay.
Welcome to Protecting What Matters. You there?
You didn't want to talk about that, huh?
Nope.
Hello.
Nope. Okay.
Okay. To quote the inimitable mayor, former mayor of San Francisco, Willie Brown, he said, "If people knew the real cost from the start, nothing would ever be approved. Start digging a hole and make it so big, there's no alternative to coming up with the money to fill it."
Yeah.
So there you have it.
It's our tax dollars at work, right? That's great. Well, and again, one of the things this article points out is a number of these projects involve wind projects that they're trying in Connecticut and New Jersey and New York, and they're all beyond.
We should put all the politicians in a big airplane that's flown by wind turbines. What do you think?
Let's give this person one more shot.
Okay.
Welcome to Protecting What Matters.
Hey, what's going on?
Okay.
Maybe it's a robocall that has your number somehow.
Anyway. Okay. Anyway, we would now like to introduce our guests, Robert Jacobs and Allison Platts-Velasquez. And why don't we do some self-intros? Who's going to start? Allison,
I'll start. Hi, my name is Allison Platts-Velasquez. And I am the Director of Marketing and Sales, as Barry mentioned, at Delta Liquid Energy. I've been in my role for about 7 years, but truly I've been in the energy space and with Delta Liquid Energy my whole life. We are a family-owned and operated company, and I am fourth-generation part of that family. So Delta Liquid Energy kind of runs in my blood. Propane runs in my blood. And I'm excited to talk about a little bit of what's going on with propane.
Robert.
Hi. Barry, Susan, thank you very much for having us.
You're welcome.
Happy to have you here.
Yes.
Robert Jacobs. I'm the Vice President of Business Enterprises for Delta Liquid Energy. And October 1, I'll be celebrating my 32nd year working for that company.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's been a great
run.
Good
for you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Enjoy it quite a bit. I deal more with the income side of the profit and loss statement, mostly with contracts for some of our high-profile customers, large commercial accounts. I do put together most of the leases that we're involved in the company, deal with pricing structures, and just interface sometimes with human resources when we have employee issues and things like that. So
great.
It's a wonderful company.
And you're one of the largest family-owned regional propane providers right now, right?
Yeah, I would say we're probably number one, number two in the state of California as far as independently owned propane companies. And of the companies throughout the United States, we're probably in the top 25.
Could you start off by explaining what exactly propane is and how it's different from other fossil fuels, so-called?
Well, you know, propane, the majority of propane comes from natural gas. As long as we're producing natural gas in the United States, we're going to have propane. Through refrigeration-type processes, we're taking natural gas from the wells in the ground, and we're extracting different gases out of that, different compounds like butane. Butane you'll see commonly in aerosol cans, mm-hmm. whether it's paint or deodorant. Propane, we all know, is widely used. Butane, ethane, different chemical compounds are coming from the natural gas stream. We're, in fact, the United States is a net exporter of propane. We make so much of it, we export a tremendous amount.
Oh, that's good.
Yep.
It's nice we're exporting something.
What? I mean, I know it's chemically different than natural gas, but it's a byproduct of it, correct?
Correct. It's a byproduct. In fact, if you took, you know, natural gas, just a small percentage, maybe 5% of the natural gas stream is propane, you will find it in there. Also, propane comes from the refining process of crude oil. So we take crude oil. In America, crude oil and pretty much throughout the world is for making gasoline and diesel. That's what it's for. But there's a byproduct in there, and through that distillation process, you can also get gases such as butane, propane, pentane, things like that.
Okay, so that answers the next question. So the manufacturing process is really a distillation process.
Distillation, when it comes to oil, crude oil, and more of a refrigeration process when it comes to natural gas.
And when it arrives at our house, it's cold, right? It's kept at a low temperature.
Yeah, it is. And when it remains at a low temperature, that's why it's such a portable fuel. And then inside the propane tank, the surface area of the steel tends to warm it up. And then when it leaves the tank and goes into your home, it goes in as a vapor. So it's if you looked at a tank and it was made of glass, you would see it would look like water, and at the top you'd see bubbles like it was boiling, and then the vapor coming from those bubbles go into your home, and that operates your water heater.
Interesting. I never knew that. Why is propane so important?
I'll go ahead and field that one. So propane, first of all, is the cleanest quote-unquote fossil fuel that there is. In 1990, propane was approved as a clean energy in the Clean Air Act. It doesn't contaminate water, air, or soil, and it does have significant reductions in emissions when compared to diesel and natural gas. So it's been proven as a sustainable, reliable, versatile fuel for decades. It's been used as an on-road fuel. It's used, obviously, as we just mentioned, in residential home use. It's used for commercial and agriculture use. And it's actually the third most utilized fuel in Europe for motor vehicle fuel.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It doesn't sacrifice power, performance, or range when we're talking about it as a motor vehicle fuel, unlike what we can see in some electric-powered vehicles. It's also important because it's used during natural disasters and emergency situations. So we power base camps for firefighters during wildfire season. And back in February of 2021, when Texas essentially froze over and nearly 4 million people didn't have power for days, propane is what they used to heat their homes and cook their food. A propane delivery truck was really the only way that they could get any sort of power. The electric grid was down, natural gas lines weren't working. And I think most importantly, propane is part of that clean energy conversation and climate change solution. You know, there's many pathways to a net zero future, and propane is available today. It's a technology that's here and at a minimal cost to the environment and the consumer.
In some of the information that you sent me that I actually did read, I was amazed at how many people in California, like 600,000 or something, don't have access to electricity. So they're actually they're powering themselves, you know, off of propane generators and so on and so forth.
California is actually the state that consumes the most propane in the nation.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, we're coming up on a break here, but let me give a bit of a preview because I think I hear the bumper music. But we're going to be talking about something called the full fuel cycle. And this is the only correct way to reliably quantify the costs, benefits, and potential trade-offs of different energy alternatives. So we're going to be talking about that, and then we're going to talk about how propane stacks up against all of this other EV stuff that everybody's all hot and bothered about. So stand by. We'll be back with you soon.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care, all your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Rich Dennison. Fox News has learned Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis will officially announce his bid for a White House run tomorrow night. DeSantis spoke earlier at a religious broadcasters event in Orlando.
My job is to lead, and I'm going to lead with vigor and energy, and I'm going to pursue the bold policies that are going to make a difference.
DeSantis is expected to make the announcement tomorrow night during a conversation on Twitter with Elon Musk. A Missouri man is charged with threatening to kill the president after an incident last night near the White House.
Police believe 19-year-old Sai Varsith Kendula intentionally crashed a U-Haul truck outside Lafayette Park about a block from the White House. A Nazi flag was recovered from the vehicle along with a backpack with duct tape and a notebook of writings.
Fox's Jared Halpern at the White House. America is listening to Fox News.
Have you found that your longtime accountant or tax professional is retired or is no longer helping clients? This is Billy Gallant with your locally owned and operated H&R Block offices, here to let you know that we have been in business for over 30 years and are still open and ready to serve you. We have the knowledge, expertise, and experience to help with all your tax and accounting needs. With your health and safety a primary concern, our licensed tax professionals are ready with many options to serve you. Call your locally owned and operated H&R Block office today to make an appointment with your next longtime tax professional.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're talking with Robert Jacobs and Allison Platts Velasquez of Delta Liquid Energy. The call-in number for questions and comments is 805-238-5775. 238-KPRL. So, you know, we do appreciate that somebody's trying to call into the station, and we are seeing it on the board, but for some reason we can't hear you. You're more than welcome to try again, but I'm not sure exactly what's going on with the phones at the moment, so sorry about that. Anyway, so one of the questions that we want to ask here, again, it's up on our prep. I found an article. Actually, this came across the feed this morning, which was timely, and it has to do with the full fuel cycle. And they talk in this article about the fact that nobody is really comparing the attributes of natural gas and propane in a fair manner. They're putting their thumb on the scale. And one of the things that they say is even Bloomberg, which is we know is somewhat of a left-leaning organization, admits that more than 85% of Americans can't afford electric cars, since they're well more than double the price of the oil-based cars. And there's all kinds of evidence that electric car life cycle emissions could be way worse than what's being advertised. And finally, they're tearing up the Amazon. Trying to, with slave labor, by the way, trying to get enough aluminum to make the batteries. So the bottom line here is, so Robert and Allison, you know, we're constantly being hammered by the anti-fossil fuel crowd to go all electric. However, they never talk about the full costs and the benefits of various alternatives. This leads us to a discussion of the full fuel cycle. So can you please explain this to our audience and why it's so important?
Sure. Yeah, of course. So, of course, electricity is going to be zero emission coming out of the tailpipe or at the plug in your home. But as you're talking about, Barry, they're not thinking about, where that electricity is coming from. So a full fuel life cycle is essentially a term that describes the full emission profile of any energy source from production through end use. So from cradle to grave is kind of what we say. And it's important to talk about that term when we're talking about reducing emissions and cleaning up the climate, because it takes into account all emissions, not just the ones at the end use. The California Air Resources Board issues what's called a carbon intensity score to all energy sources. And this score basically says how much carbon is emitted throughout the life cycle of that energy source. Currently, conventional propane and the California electric grid are on par with one another, and they both have scores right around 80. The national electric grid actually has a score around 137, and that's because a lot of our electricity in this nation is still produced by coal. So looking at the full fuel life cycle of any energy source is really important when we're talking about emissions, because electricity does have emissions, especially when it's being produced and produced by natural gas, or in some cases, coal.
So has anybody done a full fuel cycle analysis of the manufacturer of an EV? Have you seen it, anything like that?
I haven't seen any data on that.
They afraid to.
Yeah. Yeah, they probably wouldn't put that out because it might not give a story they want us to hear.
Right.
So we hear a lot also about environmental impacts of things like batteries and wind turbines. And can you touch on this as well?
Sure. And I can't speak to wind turbines specifically. I can talk a little bit about the batteries. And before I get into that, I do also want to mention that, as I said before, during the full fuel life cycle, a lot of California's electricity is still produced by natural gas power plants. And that's coming from out of state. About 30% of our electricity is produced that way. And so it takes a lot more energy for that electricity to get to a Californian's plug. There's about a 60% line loss when the electricity is coming to us. So that means 60% more electricity needs to be produced in order to get the same amount of energy.
So let's all have electric cars. That'll work.
So that kind of dovetails into that wind and battery and solar conversation. You know, we don't have enough wind and solar electric power in our state currently to power all of the things that we need to power if we're going to be an all-electric state. So in terms of the battery life cycle, what I can say is that the extraction of the materials used to produce batteries, it's not only environmentally intensive, but it's kind of questionable ethically too. The minerals that are used, like cobalt, lithium, and nickel, come with their own environmental costs in water and air contamination. I read a stat that said that producing one ton of lithium requires about 2 million tons of water. So a lot of the lithium that's used in these batteries comes from the lithium triangle, which is in Chile, Argentina, and Bolivia. And in Chile, about 65% of the region's water is used for lithium production. So that means less drinking water, less food growing water for the folks that live in that region. Cobalt mines, many of which are in the Democratic Republic of Congo, are also fairly dangerous. And a lot of the folks that are working in those mines are under the age of 18 because they're smaller. Workers aren't wearing gloves. They're not using masks. So a lot of, inhaling of dangerous chemicals happening there, too. I also read today that the Philippines has already shut down 23 mines that they used to produce nickel and cobalt because of the environmental degradation that they were causing.
And China controls a lot of this, don't they?
This is really helping the climate and the environment.
That's what I
understand, yes. Yeah. So what are, I think, we've talked about this before on the show. I mean, I don't know how we're going to stop the guys in the state from the legislature from keep pushing this stuff down our throats, but this EV stuff is not the right direction to be going. For many, many reasons. That was a great, great review, Allison. Thank you. So what are some of the agricultural uses of propane? Because we got a big ag industry here in the Central Coast.
I'll speak to that for a moment. Propane is a great energy source. You know, people need to know that propane is an abundant fuel source in America. Again, we're a net exporter. We have tons of propane in America. We export a tremendous amount. And in agriculture, it's great because it's such a portable fuel. The size and weight and of a container with propane in it is very similar to the size and weight of a container of gasoline to go the same distance. So propane is excellent for tractors. In agriculture, we see a lot of people using it for irrigation engines to provide water for their row crops, orchards, and vineyards. And as an irrigation engine fuel, the engines run much cleaner. Many of these engines are certified by the California Air Resource Board. They're all certified by the Environmental Protection Agency. And as far as the producer, the farmer, they own the fuel, they own the engine, and they're not subject to a curtailment that could occur when there's a brownout or an electrical shortage. Typically, if there's a shortage of electricity during the summer months when people are running their air conditioners, agriculture is where they go and hit them first to reduce the amount of energy they're allowing. So if you had an electric motor irrigating your fields, you're out of luck if it's 100 degrees outside.
So out of curiosity, I mean, when we ship this stuff overseas, how do they ship it? I mean, you know, is it a special kind of container ship, or do they just ship it in the tanks and shoot it across the ocean?
It's shipped as a liquid propane, and it's refrigerated, and there are large tanker ships that from the outside would look exactly like an oil tanker. They'd be very, very similar in nature.
Very interesting. Yeah.
Interesting. Tell us about the zero emission forklift regulation, which is being proposed by the California Air Resources Board. How will that impact the ag business and the cost that consumers will pay for all the ag products and services?
Sure, yeah. And not just ag products, really all products. There's plenty of warehouses and across the state that are using forklifts, not just in the agriculture
space. That's
true, right. Yeah. So this proposed regulation essentially is going to phase out all internal combustion forklifts. So as of 2026, they're proposing that we can no longer purchase a new internal combustion forklift, meaning you have to purchase a zero emission forklift. You can still purchase 2025 or older models, so used versions, if their phase out period has not started. So there's a phase out period starting in about 2028 for anything older than 10 to 13 years. And so this essentially impacts the consumer because it's going to raise the cost of goods. If everyone is required to go to a zero emission technology, then, you know, purchasing the equipment and implementing the technology is going to be tacked onto consumer goods. And of course, the Air Resources Board is trying to help with incentives and using that phase out calendar I mentioned, but not everyone is going to receive incentive money, and costs are still going to trickle down to the consumer. Additionally, the footprint that's going to be needed for charging and battery storage in these warehouses and on these wineries and just anywhere that a forklift is used is going to take up storage space, and, you know, there's going to be less.
Oh, boy.
Don't say it, Susan.
I know. I won't say it. Okay. This drives me crazy.
And the production time lost for charging these vehicles, all
right.
of that, it takes into consideration.
It makes perfect sense.
And going to increase costs for the consumer.
Ay.
Wow. All right. Well, so is there any way we can stop this?
I believe there's an open comment period going on currently, and you would research it via the California Air Resources Board website, Zero Emission Forklift Regulation. And I know it's going into board consideration in September.
The one other thing that always gets me is all those forklifts that are now gas-powered, they're all recyclable, right? What's going to happen to them? We have like huge more junkyards and landfills full of old forklifts.
They'll get shipped out of the state to the state has more brains than ours. So, anyway, so we've been hearing a whole lot about the gas stove bans and the elimination of gas-powered furnaces and water heaters. How do you guys think this is going to play out?
That's a great question. the stove ban and furnace and heater, water heaters, it's all kind of a little bit of different conversation. But essentially what's going on right now is about 60 or a little over 60 cities and towns in California have already adopted what are called REACH codes that, quote unquote, reach above and beyond what the state standards are. And they would require that all new builds either be all electric or all electric ready. It's essentially a ban on natural gas lines in new construction. And so I don't know if the audience has heard about this Ninth Circuit appeal ruling up in Berkeley. Berkeley was one of the first cities to adopt this ordinance on the natural gas piping ban. But a three-judge panel agreed unanimously that this violated federal law. This lawsuit was brought forth by the California Restaurant Association because they were mostly concerned with the cooking using natural gas or propane. And the panel found that this ban preempted federal law and Berkeley's ordinance banning this gas piping into new builds effectively prevented those appliances from using gas. And so with that ruling, of course, things are not done yet, and it will go to another appellate court and all of that. But it's caused other cities who have adopted these REACH codes to take a second look, including San Luis Obispo. So our city council in San Luis Obispo had chosen to adopt those REACH codes, and now they have unanimously voted to suspend that ban on new construction.
Oh, good.
Lines.
Good. There's good. Some good news.
All right. Well, when we return, we will look to the future of renewable propane, future technologies for propane, and maybe we'll get to some more great legislation that we can grouse about. All right. Stand by. We'll be back.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Charles Payne, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks fell as worries about debt ceiling negotiations outweighed data suggesting economic growth remains strong. And Broadcom stock surged after Apple announced a new multi-year, multi-billion dollar agreement with the chip maker to make 5G radio frequency components and wireless chips. And shares of Yelp jumped after activist investor TCS Capital Management took a stake in the online reviewing company and advised that Yelp should explore strategic alternatives, including a sale. And shares of Lowe's rose after the home improvement retailer beat first quarter profit expectations, but same-store sales missed forecasts, but they still outperform rival Home Depot. The Dow winners, Chevron, Home Depot, and IBM. The Dow decliners, Microsoft, Salesforce, and Visa. The Dow falling 231 points, the NASDAQ down 161, S&P 500 down 47. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Inflation is nothing more than legalized theft. Hi, I'm Dr. Ron Paul, and to preserve your wealth, I highly recommend keeping physical gold in your retirement account. To learn more, text the word SHELTER to 989898 to get a free info kit on gold IRAs from Birch Gold, which is the only gold IRA company I trust. So text SHELTER to 989898 to request your free info kit right now.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Have you ever considered running for public office? Have you ever seen yourself as making a difference to improve public policy? Have you ever looked at your school board, water board, or city council and said, I could do a better job? That means you should be calling Paramount Communications, the Central Coast leading Republican political consulting firm. With a successful track record of electing fiscally conservative pro-business candidates to local office, Paramount Communications is the choice of candidates on the Central Coast. Whether it's strategy, direct mail, graphics, digital, television, or radio advertising, Paramount is your political campaign source. Their one-stop shopping approach saves money and time and ensures a smooth-running, successful campaign. If you think you have what it takes to enter the political arena, they want to talk with you. Call them at 831-595-8914 or go to winwithparamount.com and mention this ad for a free one-hour consultation.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're talking with Robert Jacobs and Allison Platts Velasquez of Delta Liquid Energy. The call-in number for questions, and again, I saw you try again, but we were going into the break. So if you want to try to call back, we'll try to answer your question. The call-in number is 238-5775, 238-KPRL. There you are. Let's give you one more shot here. Welcome to Protecting What Matters.
Yeah, it's a good subject. I was going to bring something up is, you know, we've been cutting our CO2 emissions
in
the United States.
I know you can hear me, but I'm really sorry. We'll have to talk to Kevin and have him get the phone guys out here. So, all right. Sorry about that. All right. Anyway, now we're going to talk about renewable propane. And initially, when Allison sent me all this stuff, I said, boy, this is the wokest thing I've ever seen in my life. But, you know, I mean, some of it makes some sense. I mean, and I think, you know, I mean, but I do have some questions. So why don't you tell us, what is renewable propane and what's it made out of, which is probably the worst part of the conversation.
Sure. So renewable propane is a renewable fuel source that's made from sources like animal fats, plant and vegetable oils, and currently it's being produced primarily by the seed oil of the camelina plant. Camelina is a member of the mustard family, and so it's not a food crop, but it also doesn't compete with food production. So it's a cover crop, and it can be planted in between growing seasons. And something really cool that I learned this past week at the Western Propane Gas Association convention is that the quote-unquote leftovers from the camelina plant after it's been used and squeezed out and the oils have been extracted for the production of renewable fuels, that leftover stuff has been approved by the FDA as a feedstock for animals.
Oh.
All right.
I think that's good.
And goodness knows we have enough mustard.
Nutritious. Yeah.
Running around the state.
Mm-hmm.
Growing everywhere.
One thing I wanted to have Allison know, it has a statistic too on renewable propane versus traditional propane on that California Air Resource Board index, you know, when they compared electricity, propane, as far as the carbon footprint.
Yeah, sure. So what Robert is talking about is that carbon intensity score that I mentioned earlier. So the California Air Resources Board, as I mentioned before, has put conventional propane and electricity, California electricity, on par at about 80. Renewable propane, should we be able to bring it to mass market, the score on renewable propane can be as low as 20, sometimes all the way down to as low as about 7. So,
wow, that's amazing.
Much cleaner.
So who is developing this technology of renewable propane, and where is the industry as far as getting it to the market?
That's a golden question, right? So there's a few producers that are working on renewable propane currently. As it stands now, it's primarily the byproduct of renewable diesel production. There's a facility out in Bakersfield that is working on coming online. That's probably the place that's closest to where we are in terms of location. Other places in other parts of the nation are also working on renewable propane. Another statistic that I heard this past week is that it's anticipated that we're going to have about 600 million gallons of production, renewable propane production online. That's what we're hoping for. Right now, it's currently being used by some of the few larger propane companies that can get their hands on some of it as a motor vehicle fuel for their customers. So they're selling it as a motor vehicle fuel.
Really?
How hard is it to convert a motor vehicle, like an internal combustion engine, to a propane combustion engine?
You know, it's interesting. When I started working for Delta Liquid Energy in 1991, we did a lot of conversions ourselves. It wasn't that complicated. It was a carburation kit that was readily available through one of maybe three different companies in the U.S. and a propane tank, which was easily fit. Back then, I remember we had some of the ride-along vans, or the ride-on products that were running on propane. Some of the dial ride buses ran on propane. We even had some police cars in Paso Robles running on propane. The propane tanks were in the trunk of the car and actually safer and stronger than gasoline tanks. But what has happened over a period of time is the California Air Resource Board has come in and said you can no longer convert a vehicle to run on propane. That's gone. And the only way you can have a propane powered vehicle is it has to come directly from the factory, like Ford or General Motors. And for that reason, we don't see a lot of that.
Okay, we're going to try the phones here one more time. Welcome to Protecting What Matters.
Yes, I had a question, something to say. Mm. You know, China has been emitting some...
Strange. Well, again, caller, I'm really sorry you can't get through. But we'll get this fixed. Sorry.
Send us an email. We'll call you.
There you go.
Yes, you could send us the email. We do have an info at blazenbear.com, or I'm sure... Robert and my brain's not working.
Allison.
Today. Allison, we'll give you their contact information at the end of the segment. So let's go back to this renewable propane. It seems like it's got some benefits. You know, it's coming. It's basically again another byproduct of other renewable fuels, is what you're saying.
That's correct.
Okay. I was reading through this stuff, and it looks like there's different types of processes, like something called pyrolysis, hydro treating, and gasification. Okay,
you're going way above my scientific knowledge.
What is the environmental impact of that process? And let me try this one more time. Welcome to Protecting What Matters. Caller, I can't hear you. I'm sorry. Anyway, has any analysis been done of this, the processes, the various different processes as far as this full fuel cycle stuff? And I mean, are there negative impacts to the process, I guess, is what I'm asking.
You know, I'm not aware of a study that's been done like it has been for determining the birthplace of electricity and the effectiveness when the electricity reaches someone's house. The same thing, the studies that were done on propane, natural gas, but on the renewable, no. I'm not aware of the efficiency around that, so no.
Well, it is a drop-in fuel. So it's essentially, it is the same chemical makeup of conventional propane. So it would have the same uses as conventional propane does. So
you really think, I mean, this has some prospects of being a good thing?
Definitely, yes. You know, it's one of those chicken or the egg situations a little bit with renewable propane. It, you know, producers are willing to produce it if the consumer wants it. And so consumers need to also be, you know, on board with renewable propane as well.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, are you selling any today?
Unfortunately, we do not have our hands on any because there is still such a small production of it. And it's been allotted to some of the larger propane companies across the nation. But the more production that happens, the more we're able to get. So,
I mean, still on that topic, it seems, does the consumer need to know that it's renewable or non-renewable propane? Because isn't it the same substance by the time it gets to their house? Or their factory or whatever?
Yes.
Is it more expensive?
It will be more expensive, yes. Okay. I don't have a price point or anything. I wouldn't be able to quote
obviously, what that looks like. Okay.
So what sort of future propane technologies can we look forward to?
Well, a technology we have right now, and will get better and better in the future, is probably creating electricity at one's home with a fuel cell, and that fuel cell operating on propane. Again, propane is such a portable fuel. I mean, when you think about a gas grill cylinder, you know, you fill up that gas grill cylinder, it's a very small container, holds about 4.5 gallons of propane, but they operate their gas grill for a good portion of the entire summer on just one of those cylinders. So if you can imagine fueling a fuel cell at your own house using propane as the energy source and creating your own electricity, not with a generator, but actually a fuel cell. So I think this is a technology that's there now, but getting better and probably more affordable.
It'll be very interesting to see how the big powers that be, like the power companies, react to something like that.
Right. Well, yeah. they may use them themselves.
Yeah, that could be.
Yeah.
We have microturbines out there that run on propane. A lot of our customers that run large resorts in areas that are off the grid, so to speak, let's say up the Big Sur coastline, create all their own electricity on what would be called a microturbine. This uses propane, creates electricity, and it also creates a byproduct of heat. So they use that heat to preheat their water. A winery can use the same thing. We use this called combined heat and power.
Wow, all right. Interesting.
Okay, well, we've got a commercial break here, but we will be back with Allison and Robert, and we'll wrap up the show.
It's tax time, and Nick Medeiros, CPA in Atascadero, what is the most asked question?
When is the deadline to file?
And the answer is?
Technically, October 16th for all but 7 counties in California. Estimated payments, though, if you're subject to making quarterly estimates, those are still retaining the normal schedule. So those are still due April, June, September, and January. But as far as filing deadlines, it's officially October 16th.
So, Nick, October 16th is the new filing date because of SLO County's designation as a disaster zone.
Not only if you live in a disaster zone, if your preparer is located in a disaster zone, you are qualified then of also having the extended deadline.
Have a tax question? Contact Nick Medeiros, CPA in Atascadero, 805-466-7249.
Yeah, I don't know what to do.
About what?
My wife wants to remodel the kitchen, but we don't have that kind of money.
Want to see what we did? Take a peek at this.
Wow, that looks great. Who did your remodel?
It's not a remodel. I had Espeak Painting paint our cabinets. Now they're like new, and they're my wife's favorite color.
Espeak Painting, huh?
Yeah, they're local, right here in Atascadero. They're easy to deal with, from the estimate all the way to the final brush stroke. And getting a quote was easy. I did it online. It's way cheaper than a remodel.
Then I better take a peek at this Espeak Painting.
Well, you know what they say, happy wife, happy life.
You got that right.
Take a peek at Espeak Painting and get a beautiful new look for your cabinets without an expensive remodel. Espeak specializes in cabinet painting as well as residential exteriors, interiors, and HOAs. Take a peek at Espeak Painting. Book a quote appointment quickly and easily 24/7 at espeakpainting.com. That's S-P-E-E-K-Painting.com. Looking to buy or sell a car, truck, van, SUV, or motorhome? Then 10 Miles Motors in Atascadero is at your service. 10 Miles Motors will take your vehicle, even your classic car, on consignment. Or if you're looking for a particular vehicle, 10 Miles Motors will find it. For 48 years, 10 Miles has a reputation for giving customers a fair and honest price and making it easy to buy or sell. You can visit 10 Miles Motors at 7380 El Camino Real in Atascadero, or go online to tedmilesmotors.com. Here you'll see pictures of what's available at their dealership or even apply for a loan. Financing is easy and convenient. Put 10 Miles to work for you, whether you're buying or selling. In 48 years, 10 Miles has sold well over 13,000 vehicles. Veteran owned, 10 Miles Motors, 7380 El Camino Real, right next to Farrell's Auto Repair, or online, 10milesmotors.com.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're here with Robert Jacobs and Allison Platz Velasquez of Delta Liquid Energy. And again, we are very, very sorry about the phone issues that we're having. We're going to try to work those out for next week because Susan and I are going to be on by ourselves next week. So we'd love to hear from you guys. So anyway, let's keep going with some of this new technology, Allison and Robert. What are 2G energy? What's 2G energy?
Well, the 2G energy I touched on a little bit about the combined heat and power. An application, for example, let's say a winery, and they want an application where they can make their own electricity. And from that unit that's making electricity, a generator, if you will, produces waste heat. And that heat coming off of there is captured and used to reheat to heat the water. So you have combined heat and power. You can create heat for the building, create heat for hot water, and create your own electricity. These are technologies that are out there now and widely used.
Nice.
And then tell us a little bit about EV Power Pods.
Sure. So that's a company that is manufacturing a deployable charging pod that has a generator powered by propane or natural gas, and that generator then powers the chargers for electric vehicles. They're making them in 60 kW, 120 kW, and 180 kW sizes, and so they can essentially charge an electric vehicle with a propane-powered generator.
Wow, that's
really neat.
Upset the environmental people, you think?
I don't know.
So, you know, the other thing, and going back to the 2G energy thing, Robert, you know, I remember as a kid, we used to have a central air conditioning system that was powered by natural gas. And so it's almost like we're going back to old technologies to invent new ones.
Yeah. You know, there's something to say for these fossil fuels. They're reliable, they're abundant, and they work. And we're just finding other ways to use them. Another thing, when we go, I'll flip back to agriculture. You know, organics is a big thing in production today, especially in California and throughout the world. But we have a lot of our farming customers using propane for flaming. And they have large pieces of equipment that go through row crops or orchards or vineyards. And to kill weeds and manage weeds, they use flaming technology. They're flaming the weeds when they're green, so they really don't have an issue with smoke, but it's doing a heck of a job and very
That's
successful.
Great.
Yeah.
And so you don't have to put pesticides in the ground and all that. That's
eliminates
wonderful.
The need for mechanical cultivation, which is extremely expensive, and the need for pesticides. So it's an affordable organic way to produce crops.
It's great.
That is great. So do you guys have any legislation you want to talk about that might be pending that's going to either help us or hurt us?
Really, the only one that I was thinking of touching on is an assembly bill by Assemblymember Quirk Silva. It's 1012, and it would require the California Air Resources Board, if they were to propose regulation and that would be required in a mobile source using one particular type technology, that technology go through a full fuel life cycle analysis and consider all the environmental impacts of that said technology before adoption of the regulation. So it essentially gives parity to all different types of energy sources because CARB would then, the California Air Resources Board would then need to analyze the life cycle of everything, including electricity, before implementing any sort of mandates on technology that needs to be used for mobile sources.
So does it have any chance of getting through, or is it going to get stopped?
I'm not sure where it's at in the legislative process at this point. I don't know.
Okay, great.
But if they actually do a fair and balanced approach to this analysis, propane would come out pretty well, wouldn't it?
Yes. Yeah. As I've been saying, it is on par with electricity, the California electricity grid as it currently stands.
Okay.
That's great.
That's good.
That's good. So if folks want to get in touch with you about any of these topics we've discussed or anything else, what's the best way to get in touch with you guys?
Sure, yeah. My email address is Allison, P as in Paul, so A-L-L-I-S-O-N-P at deltaliquidenergy.com. And you can reach me at the main line, too, 805-239-0616.
Okay, great. Well, thank you guys so much. And just in the last few minutes, I mean, I think next week's show, Susan, we're going to touch on a number of different topics that kind of from our stack of articles and stuff that we read. I think that in light of the fact that we've just gone through our this school board issue in Paso Robles, the headline from the Wall Street Journal earlier this week was eighth graders history civics test scores hit a record low.
Great.
Okay. So I mean, I know this is something Kenny Ennie has spoken about on a regular basis, and I think we need to look at that. Another related topic, really, again, that came from The Spectator and from Great Britain. The headline on this one was Losing Young Americans at an Alarming Rate. Our kids are dying from drugs, from this rampant violence in the inner cities. And we're just not doing a very good job of protecting our kids at this point.
That's huge.
Which is huge. And then, you know, to wrap things up, if I have another minute, I want to talk about, we're big Victor Davis Hanson fans in the Protecting What Matters. And he writes, this guy is such a prolific writer. You know what? I'm going to wait until next week's show to bring that one up. So listen, we're looking forward to talking to you again next week. Allison and Robert, thank you. Remember,
thank you so much.
Remember, Blaze and Bear Insurance Services is here to help you protect what matters most with the strategic use of life, disability, long-term care insurance, fixed annuities, and business valuation. You guys have a great week. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Bye-bye.
Join us next Tuesday for Protect What Matters with Barry Fisher and Susan Blaze. Send your questions and show topic ideas to Barry at blazeandbear.com. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton. It's